Okay, well, it's good to see you. Anyone want to start with anything today? Nope.
Am I on mute or not?
No, you're okay.
Okay. I did those redemptive gifts, and I found out that, I did like all four of them, and I found out they were all the same, pretty much all the same. So they all turned out. My question is, okay, these gifts that God gives the body of Christ, would you say that they have to stay within a structural, institutional church, or is it to the whole city? I mean, don't you think it's like, okay, the gifts that I got were prophet and teacher and exhorter. And so there's this pastor who wants me to join his church because he wants a prophet. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to stick to one church or if I'm supposed to be a gift to the church, to the city.
Okay. Well, for one thing, in terms of redemptive gift, prophet, teacher is not the same as fivefold ministry prophet, teacher, or even gifts of the Spirit prophet, teacher. It's how you're wired up to engage, how you think, how you engage with the world around you. It really isn't anything to do with a prophetic gift. People can prophesy and not actually have a redemptive gift prophet, because it's how you're wired up to engage the world around you. So you come from that perspective of wanting to know how things work and how you see the dynamics of things operating. It's a different thing completely from prophetic gifting, as in prophesying, the gift of prophecy, or having a sort of a gift to equip the body to be prophetic. So it's a completely different thing. It's really for you to understand how you think, and that then you can also understand how other people think, because people who think differently often clash. Whereas if we can learn to understand each other and the different ways we think, then we can create a culture of honor and respect to one another. If you're talking about having a prophetic gifting or being a prophet, that's a different thing. If anyone, as a someone who was leading a church, wanted me to be part of that church because I was had a prophetic gift, I would be very, very wary, because they're using you. Basically, the only reason to be part of a church is if your destiny intersects with theirs and you resonate with the vision and the blueprint that they've got from heaven. Then you can be who you are within that context as a living stone, and not be pressured to serve the church for selfish reasons. The church as a body, or as an ecclesia of gathered people, is there to serve the community, and in serving the community, each person fulfills their destiny in doing it. Unfortunately, a lot of ecclesias are governed by people from top down rather than bottom up, and rather than releasing people into people's destinies, they want people to serve theirs. And that's old order, and that's what's coming to an end. And God is looking for a new order that actually releases people into their eternal destiny and doesn't control them or use them for their own ends. So if anyone came to me and said, "I want you to be part of our church because you can do this for us," then I would say, cheerio, goodbye, thank you very much, not interested. you know, because that's not what it's about. It's not how we can serve the institution. It's how we can help and encourage each other to grow and fulfill our destiny. And where, particularly a church that has a heavenly blueprint, if my blueprint intersects with that and there's a resonance, then I would be comfortable being part of that as God directed me, because then I know that I would be able to outwork who I am within the context of a living stone of that body, not trying to fit into what they need because they have a missing part, or you know, that's just an old order way of thinking. So yeah,
trusted them. I said, well, you know, I'm a mystic. And they go, well, what's a mystic? And when I just said, well, it's somebody who can go into heaven and go beyond the veil, and they go, oh yeah, well, we do that. And I said, well, I mean, I would teach on the order of Melchizedek. I would teach on angels. I would teach on going to heaven. And they didn't seem to be moved by that, like it was a problem. So I'm thinking that they're desperate to move in the direction of, you know, what God really has for his people. So
then, you know, if you feel called by God to go and help them, then that's what you need to do. You know, it's what God has mandated you and authorized you to do.
Yeah.
You know, I would be asking, you know, what's their heavenly blueprint? You know, what is their vision given to them by God, and how are they administering that?
Well, it's a church that believes that they have to have all the fivefold on staff to be able to fulfill what God wants to complete in his church.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I believe the fivefold order is finished, so they're gonna run into some trouble if they're looking to use old order things to equip new order people. Not saying that there's anything wrong with gifts. The problem has been in the past is that those ministry gifts have been replacing what the people do rather than equipping the people to do it. You know, and so, you know, I would be looking to ask what they mean by that. You know, do they have those people on staff to do the work of the prophet, apostle, teacher, shepherd, evangelist, or do they actually want to equip the whole church to be prophetic and apostolic and shepherd, and you know, ask some more probing questions to find out where they're coming from. If you feel authorized by God to get engaged with them and help, then that's great. Yeah.
I told them, I said, well, don't expect me to be there every time the doors are open, because I'm not going to fall under that religious spirit that, you know, expects you to be there every single time, you know, and volunteer and do all this stuff, you know. I'm not going to, that's not me, and I can't do that. So, you know, they're okay with that too. So maybe God's doing something there, you know. And I just don't want to, you know, bind myself to one ministry. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you have giftings, they should be for the whole body of Christ. So that's what my question was, do I need to stick with a group that I can work with, or just and commit myself to them, or do I commit, you know, to the whole church of the city?
Well, you have to know what your sphere of government is. You know, what is your blueprint? What are the mountains that you have that you're called to govern? If one of them is a local gathering, then that's fine. If it's a city, then that's fine. You just need to know what it is. And one can come out of another. You know, you can grow into wider ministry from outworking it from a place, but you need to know what is it that your blueprint says. Because if you step into something that you're not authorized to do, even though you may be gifted to do it, then you're not going to have God's authority behind it. So it's, what is it that God has shown you in terms of your blueprint for your life, and does that include outworking that within a local ecclesia? Does that include a wider city ministry? What is it that you have been given in terms of your blueprint for your own life? Because that's really what you want to see if it aligns. I wouldn't be wanting to do anything that doesn't align with my direct blueprint. And so I would look for what do I resonate with, and what vibrates in me and makes a connection in other things that shows me those things.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because I shared with them the vision, the blueprint that God gave me, and that was, and part of that was the School of the Mystics, and that's where they go, well, what is that, But they seem to identify with it, when it's put in another language or another, in other words, then they can, because they see angels.
Yeah.
They do prophetic stuff. They're also, and they're wanting me to like lead in spiritual warfare and all this, and I go, well, I'm more interested in working with the angels and not the always binding and all that stuff.
Right. Well, one other criteria for looking at it, does it have a heavenly governmental structure? So, is it a reflection of heaven?
What does that look like?
That looks like a bench of three. Having a foundational government of apostolic and prophetic foundations, operating as a bench of three, which is releasing a bench of seven into administrating the kingdom in that area. Does it look like heaven? Are they operating according to the order of Melchizedek and the four faces of God? Because that's what reflects heaven. And if they're not, but they're potentially on the journey to transition into that, then you can help.
Yeah.
If they're have an old style pastor or senior leader, and they sit on top of the pile and everyone else comes under them, ask them if they believe in coverings, apostolic coverings. Because if they do, then they're operating in an old style ministry. And that's something that when God is looking to see what reflects him and he doesn't see it in that, then you don't want to be around. If they're in transition and willing to embrace that heavenly on earth government, and looking to do things in the heavens to establish that, then that's a different thing. And I think you have to find out a little bit more, So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let me, you just need to unmute. I can unmute you if you want. There you go.
Hi, this is Joanne. So I personally do not belong to a church, and if I go to one, it's normally the Lord is pulling me out of there between 3 to 4 months and saying no. And so anyway, so years later, I am still only popping in, and that's only occasionally as the Lord leads. I do find it rich when I can find a small group in somebody's home where there's, worship, and they're just a lover of God's presence, and they're just welcoming the intimacy of God. That is all great and fine. But what is your thoughts about that, not actually belonging to a, church?
It depends really on what is actually behind that. I know a lot of people who don't attend or are not a member of a church because of various reasons. Some because God told them to leave, Some because they can't find a church that actually allows them to be themselves and to grow. Some because they're hurt by church and don't want to be associated with it, which is not a good reason. You need to get healed, and then that's a big difference on that. So there are many reasons why people aren't part of one. I believe that the manifold wisdom of God will be made known through the church, just not the religious institution. You know, I'm not when I say church or ecclesia, I'm not talking about an institution or a structure. I'm actually talking about a group of people gathered together around a blueprint to fulfill God's purposes. Mm-hmm. And when those group of people all know their identity and are free to be themselves, then they begin to shape what that group of people does, because their blueprints will be all aligned in the purposes of God. Now, you're not going to find many of those places around, mm-hmm. because there are very few places that are operating in that way. There are people who are transitioning to that. I'm involved with quite a number of leaders from different sort of settings who are looking to transition from old to new, and to embrace a new style of government, and to embrace heavenly structures and things like that, which is great. Personally, I don't believe that God has designed it that anyone should be on their own and isolated. Mm-hmm. I believe he's designed us to be in relationship with one another as living stones, mm-hmm. but that needs to be around a heavenly blueprint or vision that you can be part of, because it fits with your destiny, and you would enhance it by being there. At the moment, there aren't that many places that you can necessarily describe like that. A lot of people go to be with others because they believe it's the right thing to do, and they have friends, and they have relationships, and there's fellowship and worship and those type of things. Although they're not wrong in themselves, they're not the main issue. The main issue is, are you called to be there because your destiny fits? And I think everyone has to find that. And I believe that ecclesias are not just physical locations. I do believe that you can be connected with people with the same heart and same mind and purpose that isn't in a physical location, but has the same blueprint and the same call over maybe a region or over a nation or a geographical area or over a particular sphere of government in the heavenlies. And people can gather together in that, but it has to be relational. Everything in the kingdom is relational. That's why, we're living stones who are joined together. That's why, Ephesians 4 talks about, that as every joint sort of holds things together, it's the relationship and the love of God which is expressed between us that enables us to grow and help each other and encourage each other. There are so many injunctions in the New Testament that talk about one another's. Love one another, pray for one another, minister to one another, bear one another's burdens. There's a whole list of them. You can't do that on your own. So you're actually not able to fulfill many of the New Testament things, which is what the Christian life is about, on your own. Mm-hmm. So you do have to be able to interact with people so that you can outwork what it is to be a believer. I just don't think it's in a religious organized structure necessarily. There's much broader perspective on what it is to be gathered and to be an ecclesia that are gathered around. We have quite a number of people who consider them part of themselves, a part of our ecclesia here, even though they're in different parts of the world. They feel that they're being fed here, and but they obviously aren't here physically on the ground, but they can outwork the vision and purposes that we have to equip others around the world, and they can look to equip people in their area, and they can look to release the blessing of God in where they are. I think, it's not a simple solution to it all, because we're in transition out of old things into new, and in that period it's difficult. you know, the old things don't really work too well, and you can't find the new functioning very well either because it's new. And so we're in that place right now, and I think many people are beginning to look at where they should be and what they are doing from that perspective of, does this look like something that I recognize from heaven?
So that's wonderful. That is so that is how I do church then. If we're calling this church, that is how I do church. I don't necessarily have an established building doing that. It's in the lives of those who have similar, and there's not very many, and I don't have a lot, but the ones that the Lord has in my sphere, you know, whether it's across the globe or not, we have similar blueprint, you know, and it is the blueprint of heaven. Yeah. And I do believe you're right. There isn't very many, and there's not, but it begins, and it begins here. And so praise God. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, and eventually there will be establishing those places on the earth that are fully demonstrating the kingdom. You know, whether you call them cities of refuge or apostolic hubs, apostolic resource centers, lots of different names for them, habitations of God, revival centers, embassies of heaven, gardens of God. The idea is that they take ground and then expand that kingdom through their region, through their nation, through whatever sphere of government they're called to do it. And there will be actual physical locations where those cities of refuge will be. And I believe God is looking for those who are willing to embrace the government of that to establish them.
Come on, right here.
You know, and so I think, you know, we're going to see over the next, you know, 10 years, a lot of places begin to be established under the government of heaven with a blueprint to be one of those embassies where we operate under the laws of heaven and not earth, where we're not subject to the natural laws, the spiritual laws operate, where we're not subject to the sickness and anything else and the financial issues that are going on around us. We operate under a different judicial system, heaven's government, because we're in heaven and we're ministering that onto the earth. And that's going to be totally different. And God is looking to raise up those places of government around the earth and see them as not places that you defend, but places that you expand from. There's a Latin term, castra pona, which was what the Romans did when they went into an area. They set up an administrative base, operated under the laws of Rome, made sure they had a clear resource trail back to Rome so that they could get all the supplies that they needed, and from there they would look then to expand and take the rest of that territory, whatever it might be, and grow, because they wanted to see that the Roman kingdom established in those areas. We need to do the same with heaven's kingdom and to see heaven's kingdom established on the earth, and we need to do it in a totally different way than the earthly way, and it would mean that we'll be operating, if you like, as the mountain of the house of the Lord, which is raised up, and all the other mountains and hills, which is forms of government that are around, will have no answers to the world's problems, where we will begin to, you know, answer those problems, because we'll be operating in a different dimension of kingdom authority and beginning to do the greater works of Jesus and else. And it's like, you know, having the garden that Adam and Eve were called to tend and living in there, where all the resources and blessing of God walking in the garden with us, then that garden was supposed to expand. They were told to subdue and to have dominion, to fill the earth. They didn't. We have been called with the same mandate, to subdue that which is in opposition to God's kingdom and to see his rule, his kingdom established on earth as it is in heaven. And, you know, those people are being called to that. And some people don't necessarily fully understand it yet, but God is going to release a blueprint for each of those areas. Some of them will be whole cities. Some of them will be smaller areas. But it's where they start, where they finish, will be, you know, once once we've seen the kingdom of God fill the earth, you know, which is what it says it will do. But we have to start from somewhere of operating in heaven's authority, and that's why having a heavenly government is absolutely key. You know, the order of Melchizedek is where you have a royal priesthood, kings and priests that in agreement form a blueprint, you know, and apostles and prophets. And I'm not talking about fivefold ministry there. I'm talking about heavenly order of Melchizedek, prophetic and apostolic, carrying the full government of God for the full word of God as into that blueprint will become foundations that begin to release people to be living stones of those cities of refuge, to live in the kingdom, to demonstrate the kingdom, to begin to... When all the shaking of the world systems come, we need places that are not going to be shaken. And it, according to Hebrews, that is only the places that are built on the kingdom. You know, okay. Nothing else will last. So, yeah, I mean, we're in a pretty interesting time where the beginnings of these things are starting to be released.
Well, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Anyone else got something they want to ask? Everyone's quiet now.
Well, I wanted to share a court story, if I could. You know, there's so many teachings out there about the court system, and I'm talking about the mobile court or court of intercession. And a lot of them talk about, well, when you go in, your sins and iniquities and generational things give the enemy legal right. And the Lord actually came to me and said, I want to set you straight on some things. He said, the enemy... You know, everyone's talking about the enemy's rights. He said, I took all of his rights away at the cross. He has no legal right to anything that's mine. It just gives him access, like an illegal squatter. And, oh my goodness, it just, that whole concept just really, you know, blew me away. Although I'm getting on-the-job training and I don't listen to a lot of the teaching, it just changed my confidence level when I go to court. I mean, he says it's like he's like an illegal squatter. He has absolutely no rights. He just has access.
Yeah.
And I hear so many teachings about, oh, you know, your sins give him right. He has legal right to this. And no. And so now, I mean, it's even like, what? I mean, are these accusations even really allowed or permissible in heaven? I mean, I know he's always squawking, but, you know, I'm always getting a favorable